I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn to the book of Genesis. I would like to read from Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. When I say the word affliction, what comes to your mind? When I say the word affliction, what comes to your mind? Wendell?
Medical ailment.
Medical ailment. All right. That certainly is one kind of affliction that sometimes we have, is a medical problem. Sickness is an affliction. What's another thought that comes to your mind when you think of affliction?
Persecution.
Sometimes can be an affliction. Okay? What else, Sister Jessica? Okay, any serious burden you have can be an affliction. Okay, anyone else? Sister Cheryl? Troubles, okay. Most of the time when we think of affliction, and I think this is true most of the time in the Scriptures, I think that when we think of afflictions, we think of personal afflictions. And that often, and is usually the case in the Scriptures, when the Word of God is talking about afflictions, it's talking about people or individuals that have various kinds of troubles and problems and different kinds of things that are going wrong in their lives, heartaches, physical illnesses, loss of possessions, loss of family, all kinds of afflictions that people have in their lives. Sometimes the Word of God talks about how God will afflict a whole nation. God can send afflictions on a whole nation. Tell me some ways that God might send afflictions on a whole nation. Okay. There were plagues in Egypt. You remember those plagues that God sent on the Egyptians because they would not let the children of Israel go. Those were afflictions on an entire nation of people. Okay? Any other afflictions besides the plagues? Okay, fire and brimstone that came down on Sodom and Gomorrah probably goes beyond just an affliction, but that's all right. That's still trouble in their lives.
Drought,
sometimes afflictions, and that was often the case in the Scriptures, that God would send a drought. That was an affliction that God would send. He would send a famine. He would send, usually the drought would result in a famine in the land. And those were some afflictions that God would send on an entire nation. Slavery, is that what you said? Yes. Slavery is was certainly an affliction. The children of Israel, when they were in Egyptian bondage, that they were slaves, they were in Babylonian captivity. Those were afflictions that God sent on entire nations of people. Now, what I want us to think about tonight as we look at the Word of God is not only personal afflictions that you might have, problems and troubles that you might have in your life, but also think about that God could be in the process of bringing, of afflicting our nation. And that as those afflictions take place, that afflictions may get worse in our nation. We may have major kinds of problems in our nation. And in the midst of afflictions, it's very important the way that the children of God react in those times of afflictions. Your true spirituality is not usually measured except in times of trouble. Isn't it marvelous to see somebody that's in the midst of affliction, and that individual or that nation of people, that amidst all of their affliction, that they continue to worship God and praise God and give glory to God, no matter what's happening in their lives, they're continuing to give glory to God. Isn't that a marvelous and a beautiful sight when in the midst of affliction that people are still giving glory to God? Can you think of anybody that in the Bible, individual or nation, that did in the midst of their afflictions that they gave glory to God and their lives were very fruitful in giving glory to God? Okay, Joseph, Job, And somebody else mentioned another one. All right, let's start with Joseph. Turn in your Bibles now to Genesis chapter 41. Of course, the always, when you look at the Word of God, always the perfect example that you can and must always remember is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I want us to look tonight, first of all, at Joseph, and I want us to think about that in the midst of his afflictions, and he had a lot of afflictions in his life, he had a lot of trouble, he had problems on top of problems, and in the midst of Joseph's affliction, God was with him, and Joseph honored God in every affliction. Look at the Word of God in Genesis chapter 41. Listen, please, to begin with, to verses 50 through 52. The Word of God says, "And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." He's saying, God has helped me forget a lot of my troubles. Isn't that a great blessing? God sometimes just helps us forget about pain and problems and troubles that we've had. And you almost have to really think in order to remember how bad things were. What's the most common thing that you think would be true, that no matter how bad it was, that the pain and the problem is quickly forgotten? I think when a woman brings forth a child, that there is much pain there, but then as the child begins to, very shortly after that, the pain is forgotten. So God, Joseph said, God has helped me to forget my pain, my sorrow, my trouble, my toil. And then in verse 52, he makes another statement. He says, "And the name of the second child was called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." I want you to notice, and we're going to concentrate, the Lord willing, our thoughts and study tonight on that last expression where Joseph said that God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. In the midst of all of my affliction, God has caused me to be fruitful. I want all of you to understand that sometimes an individual might say, "I was fruitful in the midst of my trouble." That is, they want to give glory to themselves, and they want to boast about, in the midst of all of my trouble, in spite of my problems, I gave glory to God. I want you to know that that kind of thought is a very boastful and arrogant attitude that is not true. The truth is that if you ever give glory to God in the midst of your trouble, in fact, if you ever give glory to God in any way in your life, it's because God has blessed you to do that. And Joseph, in the midst of all of his troubles and all of his problems, Joseph says that God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So right now tonight, I want you to pray that God will help you, that you might always be blessed by God to be fruitful in the land of your affliction, because you will have troubles in your life. You're going to have afflictions, and you need to pray, God, help me to be like Joseph was. Help me, bless me, to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now, in the back of my mind, I don't want this to just be just you thinking about your personal life, but in the back of my mind, I feel that we need to have this as a preparation for our land, America, in the midst of affliction that God sends on our nation. I want all of us to pray that God will help us to be fruitful in the land of our affliction. In other words, if God sends severe judgment on our land, and we have problems beyond anything we have ever known in days gone by, I want you to pray, God, help me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Because I believe that gives more glory to God when we are fruitful in the midst of our affliction than when we sing songs of praise in times of prosperity. I don't know that we can really fervently praise the Lord like we ought to. I don't know if we can give as much glory to God in times of our prosperity as we can in times of poverty and affliction. I want you to always remember some of the basic principles that are set forth in the Word of God. You remember in Psalm 30 and verse 5, the Word of God says, weeping may endure for a night, but what? But joy cometh in the morning. Now, in the midst of Joseph's affliction, I think he had to remember some of these principles that we need to write down and memorize, and we need to think about these things in the midst of our trouble. We need to, one of the verses we need to remember is, weeping may endure for a night. I may be in the midst of a time of weeping in my life, but weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy is going to come. Did you know that? That is true for every child of God, no matter what affliction he or she is in, no matter if it's a whole nation that's in the midst of affliction, joy is going to come in the morning. Now, the morning may be tonight or tomorrow, or it may be a month from now, it may be 6 months from now, but there is going to come a time of joy. No matter what the afflictions are of the people of God, there's going to come a morning, M-O-R, not M-O-U-R, a morning of joy. Even if the joy that comes is only through death, still there's going to come a joy in the morning. Will that help you to be fruitful in the land of your affliction, in the time of your affliction, in the midst of your affliction? Will that help you to be fruitful in the land of your affliction if you remember that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning? That's what the Word of God tells us about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That as He was suffering the cross and enduring the cross, He was looking forward to the glory that was going to be revealed in Him. And so it is the people of God need to remember many. Here's another verse of Scripture that will help you to be fruitful in the land of your affliction. The Word of God says, many are the afflictions of the what? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. We are going to have afflictions. In the world, you will have afflictions. You're going to have afflictions, but if you'll remember that God is with you in the midst of those afflictions, then you can be fruitful in the land of your affliction. When David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that shadow of death represents a land of affliction, and yet David could give glory to God because he said, thou art with me. I think that when we have our afflictions and we have our troubles and we pass through the valley, if we can just feel the presence of God with us, then we will be fruitful in the land of our affliction. All through the Scriptures, this principle of God being with us and helping us in our time of affliction is set forth. Isaiah says, when thou passest, God says through Isaiah, God says, when thou passest through the rivers, what? I will be with thee. And when you pass through the fire, I will not allow the fire to consume you. And one of the ways that all of this is summarized is in the New Testament, in Romans 8:28, that we all know by heart, where the Word of God says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. So, what do we know in the midst of all of our afflictions? What do we know? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Now, if you will hold on to the truths of God's Word, if you'll hold on to some of these principles that I've just mentioned to you, it will help you to be fruitful in the land of your affliction. Some of you right now are in some very, you're in about as bad afflictions as anybody I know. I know some people right now, some of you and other people that are going through very serious afflictions, very serious troubles, great heartaches and problems in their lives. As big of problems as you can ever imagine, there are people that are going through those things right now in their lives. And do you know you need to be praying for them that God will help them to be fruitful? Did you know you can do things to help people be fruitful in the land of their affliction? Did you know you can help them, you can strengthen them, you can remind them of the presence of God? Did you know that sometimes when you get in the midst of a land of affliction, sometimes you can't find God and you can't feel God? But if a brother or sister will come along beside you and begin to encourage you and feed you the Word of God, it will begin to help you so that you can be fruitful in the land of your affliction. So I encourage all of you that if you're not right now, if you're not in the midst of a land of affliction in your life right now, I encourage you to look round about you, because there are brothers and sisters in Christ that you know that are in the midst of their land of affliction right now. Your day is coming, and you're going to need people to encourage you. But right now, I encourage all of you to find people that are in the midst of affliction in their life, and that you be an encouragement to them, and you help them to be fruitful in the land of their affliction. Sister Grave, you got anybody helping you in the land of your affliction? Amen. Isn't that good? Brethren, I just don't know how people make it without the Lord. I just don't. I don't know how people go through. Well, I think that maybe God has helped me understand. For example, when someone loses a child in death and they don't have God with them, I've thought many times about this. How in the world can they face that? And here's what I believe is the answer to that. I don't believe people that don't know God, people that are not children of God, people that don't love God, they also don't love their family like children of God love their families. Does that make sense to you? They don't really know what love is all about. The only people they love, children of the devil, and children of God that have gone so far away from God, the only person they love, the only person they care about is themselves. And so it is, they can lose loved ones and they can lose all kinds of things in their lives, and they don't feel so much pain and agony as a child of God who loves people. But I'll tell you what, those children of God, if they're children of God, those children of God that have turned their backs on God in this world, and God begins to bring His judgment, the first degree of judgment, they may not feel the pain so bad. But did you know God knows exactly where they're heart is and what will hurt them, and God will bring judgment in that area in their lives? Because when a person is a child of God, God will bring them to their knees and they will cry out to God in this world. There has never been a child of God, never been a single child of God that went away from God that God didn't bring judgment in his life, and he was brought to his knees and he cried and cried unto the Lord. Most of the time the crying comes after it's too late to bring back the joy that he's lost. But if you're a child of God and you have, and again now, there's a difference in fiery judgments. I've tried to mention this a number of times. There's a difference in fiery judgments that are because of sin in your life and fiery trials of your faith. You understand the difference? A fiery judgment is when you've done something wrong and God begins to chasten you, and all you'll do is cry and weep and mourn. You can't be fruitful in the midst of judgment in the sense of you bringing forth fruit to the glory of God. Because when judgment comes, all you're going to be doing is crying and weeping and mourning. But when you're having a fiery trial, an affliction, here's what David says: it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? Because when we're afflicted with a fiery trial in our life, it draws us closer to God and closer to each other. And it's in those times, in those seasons, that we're drawn to our knees and drawn closer to God. It's in those seasons that we can bring forth some of the most beautiful fruit that has ever been brought forth in our lives. And that's the way it was in the life of Joseph. Joseph was an individual that loved God, feared God. God revealed things to him. And Joseph was a man that went through affliction after affliction after affliction. And in every affliction, God was with him. And as God was with Joseph, every time, no matter what happened in his life, every time Joseph was fruitful in the land of his affliction. Isn't that amazing? I encourage every one of you this week, I don't care how many times you've read it before, but I encourage you to start with Genesis chapter, maybe back up to Genesis chapter 37. And I encourage you to read Genesis chapters 37 through about well, 37 through 50, but especially read, if you want to read something tonight before you go to bed, to see the glory of God. And that's what I want you to remember what Joseph said. What Joseph said was, God, who's he giving glory to? Not I brought forth. He says, God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I want you to go home and read tonight about Joseph. I want you to read every detail, because I can't just briefly, in 5 minutes, I can't tell you everything, but I want to briefly go over the life of Joseph, because I want you to see that no matter how many problems came in his life, no matter how many troubles came, no matter how many afflictions came in his life, Joseph was fruitful in whatever land of affliction he was in. Look, and first of all, in your Bibles, back up in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37, the Word of God tells us about Joseph's brethren hating him because he told them about a dream that he had, and also because they could clearly see that Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his brethren. So there was a lot of jealousy in Joseph's family. His brothers hated him, and they decided that they would kill him. And Joseph, this is in Genesis chapter 37. You can start reading in 18 and come down to verse 21. Verse 21, after they've decided they're going to kill Joseph, his brother Reuben says, Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." What Reuben's intent was, let's put him in this pit. Let's don't kill him, let's put him in the pit. And what was Reuben's intent? I'm going to come back later and get him out of the pit. But what happened then? While he was in the pit, what did the brothers decide they're going to do then? Instead of leaving him in the pit, what did they decide they would do? We're getting him out of the pit. We're going to sell him to the Ishmaelites. Come down to verse 26. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. So they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. Now, what was his first pitfall? What was the first problem he had, other than the fact that his brothers hated him? The first place he went to was down in the pit, the literal pit that he was put down in, and he had no food and no water in that pit. But here's what happened. As soon as his brothers left him in that pit, they went out, and you can go home and read this later, they went over there and they sat down and they started to eat. And when they started to eat, now remember, how is Joseph going to feel down in the pit? No food and no water. He's going to be hungry. Is he going to be in the midst of an affliction right then? So guess what the Lord did? As soon as his brother sat down to eat, that's when they saw those Ishmaelites coming along. So that's when they sold him right then. So when it was meal time, even though his brothers were going to just leave him in the pit, and I hadn't seen this until today looking back over some of this, that it was when they sat down to eat that's when God sent those Ishmaelites by, and they sold Joseph to the hands of the Ishmaelites. So he got some food right there. Do you think they fed Joseph? Yes, they did. The Ishmaelites, why? They were going to sell Joseph. They wanted him in good shape. So they fed Joseph and they took good care of him. What was happening right there? God was causing Joseph to be fruitful in the land of his affliction. In everything he's going to face now, God is going to cause him to be fruitful. God's going to be with him. Come down to the next chapter in Genesis chapter 30. Well, let's skip 38 and come to 39. Genesis chapter 39. Look in Genesis chapter 39 in your Bibles. The Word of God says, so after the Ishmaelites bought Joseph from his brothers, chapter 39 says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. Now, first he was in the pit. And then he was bought by whom? Bought by the Ishmaelites. They owned him. He was their slave. They carried him down to Egypt. And who did they sell Joseph to? They sold him to Potiphar. Listen, brethren, if you were a slave you would have a better idea of the fact that Joseph was in a land of affliction. And Joseph had not done anything to deserve the problems and the troubles and the affliction that he was having in his life. But God was with him everywhere he went. Who kept those brothers from killing? Was it really Reuben that kept those brothers from killing Joseph? No, it wasn't really Reuben. Now, God used Reuben, but it was God that spared his life. It was God that spared his life while he was down in the pit. It was God that brought him up out of the pit. And that's what David says in the Psalms, that God has brought me up out of a miry pit. Has God ever brought you up out of a pit? Listen, brethren, God's brought me up out of the pit, and he's brought you up out of the pit. There's not a person in this building that God hasn't lifted up out of a miry pit. I'm talking about spiritually, that you were dead in trespasses and sins, and God brought you up out of a miry pit. And then after that, there have been many times in your life that you've been in a miry pit, you've been in the midst of afflictions, and God has come along, and God has lifted you up out of a miry pit, and you give glory to God when He does that, and when you give glory to God, you're being fruitful in the land of your affliction. That's beautiful, isn't it, to see fruitful people in the land of their affliction. And so he sold into Potiphar's house. And does God bless Joseph while he's in Potiphar's house? Oh, he's blessed. And everything that Potiphar has, all the possessions he has, they begin to multiply. All of his cattle begin to get better. Everything Potiphar has begins to increase. And the Word of God says it was for Joseph's sake that everything Potiphar had began to abound. And Potiphar knew the reason of all of his increase and of all of his blessing was because of who? Because of Joseph. What was happening? God was causing Joseph to be fruitful in the land of his affliction again. And then you remember how Potiphar's wife came to Joseph and tried to get Joseph to lay with him, and he resisted her and he was put in prison. Listen, brethren, sometimes people say it can't get any worse than this. You better fasten your seatbelt if you ever say that. I've said that a few times in my life. I've said, well, I just don't think it can get any worse than this. And it got worse every time. So don't ever think it can't get any worse. It'll get worse. Things are going to get worse. Things will get worse in our nation. You think things are going to get better? You're mistaken. God's judgments are on our nation because we have turned our backs on God and we can try everything humanly possible. There is no wisdom in Washington, D.C. and there is no wisdom in the lives of many of God's children today. They don't know what to do. You don't know what to do, and I don't know what to do. But God will guide you if you put Him first in your life. And you'll look back and know that God was guiding you when you didn't even realize what you were doing. You didn't even realize that what you were doing was so important, so significant, right then. You know what's happening? You're making all these wise decisions, right? No. What's happening? God. What did Joseph say? God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I want all of you to know that as you make these wise decisions and you do things that are right, I want you to always remember that the Word of God says in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2, I believe it says, that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Have you ever done anything that's right and good? I'll tell you, if I had a calendar at home with all your names on it, I'd put a gold star by your name just for being here tonight with it as cold as it is. And I know many of you are tired, but you still came to the house of God. I know many of you drove long miles, but you still came to the house of God. Well, it's not so important what I think, but brethren, it is wonderful that God is well pleased with you. And no matter what the troubles and problems are, God is moving in you and touching your heart and guiding you and directing you and giving you strength. Did you know the only reason I didn't just lay in bed this afternoon and instead of coming to church tonight, you know the only reason you didn't stay home tonight? You know the only reason you didn't stay home tonight? Or you can come up with a lot of other reasons if you want to, but it's because God was working in you. It's because God was working in you. Yes, I know that you can quench the Spirit of God. I understand that. But don't you ever give glory to yourself. I want you to always declare, God is the reason I've ever done anything that was good. God will not give His glory to another. God will not allow you to boast about what you've done or what you've been doing. God requires you. And if you've got very much sense, you'll know that without God, I can't do anything that's good and right. If I've ever done anything that's right or good, it's because God was working in me. Same thing's true of you. And so what can you say tonight? Same thing Joseph said. God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. There's a sense in which, brethren, listen, there's a sense in which my whole life on this earth is a land of affliction, as is yours. There's a sense in which that's true. Now, there are times that there are worse afflictions than others, but this is a low ground of sin and sorrow that we're living in, and it's a wonderful blessing to ever be fruitful in the land of our affliction. Not going to finish all about Joseph. You know what all happened after he was put in prison, and then you remember how Pharaoh had those dreams, and Joseph interpreted the dreams, and he came out. And what was happening? God was causing Joseph to be fruitful. And he came out and he got in Pharaoh's house. He started out down in a pit. He went from the pit to being a slave to the Ishmaelites. He went from being a slave to the Ishmaelites to be a slave in Potiphar's house. He went from that back down to prison, down to the pit again. And he went from the prison into Pharaoh's house as a slave. But he went from Pharaoh's house as a slave to being ruler over all of Egypt. Who brought him to that position? God did. Who made him to be so fruitful? How did he get so smart that he could advise Pharaoh in all those ways? Who was it that was showing Joseph everything that he was telling to Pharaoh? It was God that was showing Joseph all of those things. And therefore, God is the one that got the glory in Joseph's life. And Joseph said, God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Somebody else mentioned Job. We could do the same thing we've done with Joseph. Job, likewise, was an individual that God caused him to be fruitful in the land of his affliction. And we could go to the Apostle Paul, and if you were to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about all the afflictions, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, I'm just going to tell you about my afflictions. And he lists them, boom, 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 boom. And after you list all those afflictions, he says, now, if I'm going to glory about anything, I'm going to have to glory in the Lord. And then in the next chapter, you remember how he had that thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he began to cry to the Lord, Lord, get rid of this thorn in my, take it out, take it away. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Sister Lisa, you want that thorn out of your flesh? Well, I'm praying for that thorn to be out of your flesh. Got a lot of thorns. Some of you have got a lot of thorns, don't you? Sister Lisa has some very serious physical problems, and all of you have your own thorns, your own problems to bear. But I want you to always give glory to God in the midst of your afflictions. I want you to pray, God, help me. Help me, Lord. I don't want to question you. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to fight with you. I want to humble myself, and I want to be able to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And so it is the Apostle Paul, the last thing he said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, after God said, my grace is sufficient for you, he said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, my afflictions. I'll glory in my afflictions because it's in my afflictions I am best able to be fruitful in the land of my afflictions. May God help us to remember this, because the days are coming, listen carefully, the days are coming that you're going to need everything that we're hearing. May God help us to be fruitful when the afflictions get worse than you've ever seen before. May God help you to be fruitful is my prayer for Christ's sake.